folks, so I'm sure you've all been enjoying the positive and uplifting headlines about Joe Biden, which is coming out all over the press, and all of the sort of ready-made memes that they seem to have had. And it reminded me that when we talk about how the masses, how the general public are brainwashed and misled by the enemies of the people, who are the journalists and the mass media, It isn't always just that they're being fed wrong information and statistics or facts which are wrong. That's part of it. That's certainly a big part of it. But after the election, I've noticed something else happening as well. And it's that if you look at the headlines and Joe Biden features in the headline, it's always with an uplifting story. And the one that caught my eye the most was one called the Biden Bounce. So you'll notice that straight away, they have like a meme, they have like a catchy little slogan there, the Biden Bounce. And the Biden Bounce is that when it was announced that Joe Biden, which the media announced as well, by the way, when it was announced that Joe Biden had won the election, then all of a sudden around the world, you got this like huge surge in on the stock markets, like the world economy was going to benefit from the news that the media had created themselves. I mean, we'll get into that another time. But and it occurred to me that in the age of social media, not many people are actually going to click through and go through the article itself, which is probably full of rubbish. Instead, what they're going to remember is that little slogan that they've made, and they're also going to associate Joe Biden with economic recovery and having more money in their pocket. And you'll see this again and again. There was another one in the National Geographic about how Joe Biden's going to save all of the wildlife in the world. And so what you see is the way the manipulation of the public, it isn't just about giving them certain facts and certain information which is incorrect or warped or biased or whatever. I think there's something else more sophisticated and more subtle goes on, and it's that whenever they, and I think this is deliberate, whenever they see Biden in the news, a headline with Biden, they get a little dopamine hit because it's a story which is positive and it's something uplifting. And I mean, I'm sure if you hunt around, you can see the most ridiculous examples of this. I mean, as I say, the National Geographic said that he was going to save all of the wildlife in the world and save the countryside and the environment. Maybe the snow leopard will start breeding again because Joe Biden became president. Maybe it's a bit of a push. But maybe like Mars bars will go back to being as big as they were in 1995. Maybe real ale will stop giving you a beer belly. That would be nice. I'd like to see Joe Biden in that kind of headline. But the point here is that mainly it's about manipulating the audience, not just with information, and this is the important point, but with emotions. It's making them feel happy when they see Joe Biden in a headline. And you'll see this everywhere at the moment. And so if the idea of manipulating people through giving them little zaps of happiness, little dopamine hits, sounds familiar, it should do, because it's pretty much Twitter's business model. And Quillette isn't exactly my favourite reading material, but they did have a great article back in June called Journalism's Death by 1,000 Tweets. And in it, what they describe here, well, I'll go through it, but what they describe is the effect that Twitter's having on journalism and the general public and how it works. And so they say, in particular, and to give some possible examples, users should only be exposed to opinions, articles, and facts to which they want to be exposed. The rapid dissemination of breaking news should be encouraged, ideally without the requirement or even the possibility of context. Fact-checking, assessment, and genuine newsworthiness, or indeed any kind of editorial creation whatsoever, conversations should be fully surveilled, sometimes censored, and encouraged to take place in full view of everyone, thus limiting the possibility of the private exploration of alternative, non-mainstream viewpoints. Empathy, sympathy, and face-to-face engagement should be actively discouraged, if not rendered impossible by the platform's design interface, while hatred, tribalism, and outrage should be fostered and encouraged. This will have the added benefit of maximizing user engagement, thus allowing you to sell your users even more ads. And, perhaps most importantly, the conversations themselves should be severely circumscribed so as to prevent the possibility of genuine nuance and deep reflection taking place by, for example, limiting the number of characters you're allowed to type. Such a veneer will allow you to rebut accusations that your platform is perniciously habit-forming and seriously deleterious to the health of the individual, the journalism profession, and wider society. At present, almost a quarter, 24.6% of Twitter's authenticated users are journalists or news organizations. Journalists are also the platform's most active users by profession, as measured by follower ratios and number of tweets. More than a quarter, 27% of journalists turn to Twitter as their first source of news, and 83% regard it as their most valuable social media platform. Jack Dorsey himself describes Twitter, or he did, a short burst of inconsequential information, chirps from birds, which, according to Dorsey, was exactly what the product was. And so what today passes for the intelligentsia of the Western world are actually a bunch of social media big tech addicts who've had their brains turned to mashed potato through overuse and short attention spans, and this then creates, this is the filter through which all of our media passes, all of our information passes through this, but the information comes second place because Twitter has imprinted itself and its own functionality into the brains of the very people who are creating the news, and they literally do create the news. But how does Twitter work then? What are they doing? Well, it's trawling for, again, the dopamine hits. It's the likes and the retweets and the attention that it gets them. The nice replies and the little smiley emojis. This, on Twitter, is the equivalent to the headline which has Joe Biden and the Biden bounce. Because when you look at the headline of the Biden bounce, the purpose is for the general public to get the equivalent of a like on Twitter. And so, and it's of course promoted on Twitter by these addicts, these journalists who are on Twitter night and day. Now, the Twitter user base may well be quite small, but the fact is, as far as all of the intelligentsia, which is to say what in a normal society would be the intellectual life of the civilization, is now taking place on Twitter. And so Twitter functions in a certain way which makes it impossible for any of these journalists to report on facts objectively, because they only go on Twitter. What Twitter's done to their brains is to make them adhere to the general philosophy of the peers, to the in-group, to the dominant narrative. What you'll notice about all of this is that truth doesn't get a look in. This is news. This is an intelligentsia which is run entirely on emotion, on getting that little dopamine hit of happiness. Whether it's a like on Twitter or a sugar-coated article of Joe Biden, it doesn't really make any difference. The difference with the news that they're reporting is that the bit of sugar-coating, which is the equivalent of the like, that goes up into the headline. That goes up into that the audience, the public, get the like whenever they see Joe Biden. That's what this is about. To see Joe Biden in a positive headline is them giving you a little like to make you feel good, to make you feel warm and fuzzy. Ooh, we've had a Biden bounce. The economy is going to go up. Oh, he's going to save the snow leopards. He's going to stop the oceans. He's going to refreeze the North Pole. All of these kinds of things are just a dopamine hit, which is, it's just like the mentality of Twitter then imposing itself on all of the world. And the idea of truth, objectivity, it's actually an impossibility, because if they try to do it, they'd get cancelled. So it's like Twitter, the Twitterification of absolutely everything. Imagine allowing the intellectual and philosophical life of a civilization to be passed through a filter and more or less controlled by a bunch of low information, attention-seeking, weak-willed whores who actually have an inbuilt need for the approval of their peers, which leads them into this massive echo chamber of reinforcing their own ideas. I mean, you may as well walk into some sleazy pub somewhere and just offer that position to a bunch of pissheads sitting in the corner in their own muck, because they'd at least have some sort of earthy honesty to them instead of this detachment that the Twitterati have. Imagine if you're going to play one of those games like Civilization or something, and it's time to set the moral and philosophical and intellectual framework of your civilization. And on the one hand, you have a sort of philosopher king, military junta, warrior ethic, and they are over there drafting out plans and training and talking all of that kind of thing. And then you've also got like a spiritual priestly class with their own. And then you've also got like a bunch of philosophers talking about being and ontology and all of that. And then you've also got like some toothless peasant who's rolling around half mad. Well, in this case, what we've done is hand over that to the toothless peasant who's a schizophrenic and pissing his own pants. That's what the equivalent of the blue tick Twitterati actually are in our civilization. They are constantly rolling around looking for approval, looking for hits, looking for likes, love me, love me. And then they are imprinting that mentality on everything in the intellectual life of a civilization. It's just a complete train wreck. So that's my thoughts on that, folks. I'll catch you later.